afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
I fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
Right, Mary, thank you much for that. I think we're now live. Good afternoon. This is The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time, coming to you today from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. And we'd just like to say good afternoon to late evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And, of course, happy Valentine's Day, ladies, and I guess guys too, I guess. But anyways, happy Valentine's Day to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late Thursday evening, early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh felt like a refreshing fall day, to be honest, with crisp, cool temperatures to begin the day. And truth be told, it never seemed to get all that hot. However, we did manage to get into the lower 80s as the day wore on, but that soon gave way to a brisk wind around sunset that persists even to now. So we've got winds of about 16 miles per hour, keeping things a little bit cool feeling anyways. And that the wind is, though, coming about exact opposite of my one window in my apartment here. So it's I'm not feeling the effects of it. Otherwise, it'd be really kind of cool. I love the fresh air, so, and I like the wind. But unfortunately, I'm not feeling it here. Just I'm on the opposite side of the wind. So you can guess I'm looking towards the north. What, north, northeast, something like, let's see, south, southeast, north, northwest, something like that. But anyways, the building here is protected from the wind, at least where I'm at. If I were on the other side, obviously it'd be pretty brisk. I could open up and probably blow some papers around every now and then. Anyways, I was actually tempted, everybody, to go out tonight, man. When I came out from work just before 9 o'clock, it was such a windy day. And I, oh, this is really nice, man. I should go out and just get out and enjoy the night, but that's not what happened. I got the radio show. So I went home, actually laid down, took a nap till about midnight here. I'm tired, boy, man. It's the end of the work week for me, and it's been a really long week, putting in extra hours, planning for a trip out of the country soon. We'll be still live, of course. We're not going to miss any shows. We'll be back in time for the show next Thursday. But after Saturday's show, we're going to be taking a trip out, going to be going to basically the International Defense Expo in Abu Dhabi. I have been invited to come to that. I've got to give a presentation at that expo for some clients flying in from a Southeast Asian country. So it's going to be a rather fun week for me next week. I'm going to fly out of here, spend a couple days in Abu Dhabi for the International Defense Expo, and then I'll be back here in time for the show. So it's going to be kind of a hectic week next week also. Looking forward to that, though. I've never been to the International Defense Expo. There's over 100,000 visitors come to this thing. It is the elite international defense fair. So if you want to call it a fair, you know, but I guess that's using an old term. But literally, I think, I don't know how many, I really don't. I don't know how many booths are there. It's a huge thing. So I'm going really for work. I have things to people to meet, flying in to meet with us. Easier to see them in Abu Dhabi than it is here in Riyadh. So I'm going to be going there, coordinating a four-country meeting, quite frankly. So to those of you who just wonder what I do, that's Michael Tom Goodrich. He's one of these guys. Well, this is going to add to that mystique, I guess. But we'll be there for a couple of days. I had a couple people walk up to me today. Oh, by the way, temperatures right now, we're just at a little after 2 o'clock in the morning here in Rion. We're sitting at right around 63 degrees. So we're going to be going down to 59 degrees. And then after, I think, a day or so, we're actually going to see a pretty good cooling trend. We may not even get into the 60s in a couple, 4 or 5 days. Now, I know that breaks everybody's heart out there that's in America and Canada where you've been enduring an extended cold period. It's not like a record break. I guess there's been some record breaking days, but you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, what can I say? To me, it's winter time, right? Let's see. I had a couple people walk up to me today, you know, hey, Dennis. I said, yeah, what's up? They said, California's getting smashed with bad weather, lots of rain. I said, I don't know, man. I don't know anything about it. I'll check it before I go live today. So sure enough, as I'm doing the weather here for Riyadh, I'm looking at the reports that show up on the same feed. And yeah, California's getting slammed by some pretty heavy rains the past couple days. And pretty impressive stuff. Now, last week we talked about two types of storms that actually hit California in the wintertime. And these storms, one of them crawl down really from Alaska and they bring with them lots of snow. And then there are these Pineapple Expresses that steamroll across the Pacific Ocean from Hawaii, and they bring some warm air and lots of rain. And I guess, well, the past few days have seen some pretty impressive style Pineapple Express combined, though, with a storm coming up from or down from the Pacific Northwest. So it's been pretty impressive, some of the numbers coming in. Winter storm warnings are in the Sierra Nevadas. They were expecting in some areas above 9,000, because remember, it's a Pineapple Express, so that the elevations go higher. 9,000 feet, that's 2,743 meters for those of you on the metric scale. 7 feet of new snow, as much as 7 feet. That's a couple more meters. National Weather Service recorded wind gusts of 132 miles per hour this week, late Tuesday and into early Wednesday, atop the Mount Rose Ski Resort, which is southwest of Reno, Nevada. So that's pretty impressive. And of course, there are people are still trying to dig out from a storm a week ago. And then in the Eastern Sierras, a place where I used to hang out as a teenager, the Mammoth Mountain Resort reported the latest storm has already added another 8 inches to its current summit season. And that total now is 38 feet or 11.5 meters now at the base at Mammoth Mountain. And that, of course, is a huge kind of like mid, I don't know, you'll draw crowds from both San Francisco, the Bay. Well, back in the day, you know, what's going on in California now, I don't know. But we would come up from Southern California to Mammoth just to spend a weekend or something. So they are now expecting to keep Mammoth Mountain open until the 4th of July, at least. Is that impressive or what? Now, the current storm followed more than a week of severe weather up in, of course, the Pacific Northwest. We covered a little bit about that Saturday. And then the West winter storms, of course, have aided greatly California's water supply. The most recent Sierra snowpack is, as of January the 31st now, 100% of normal to date, and more snow had already fallen. So essentially what's happened is California's drought is effectively done. The drought conditions pretty much across the state now no longer exist. So for all those who panicked about the drought, I'll tell you what, I've seen so many of these as a kid growing up in California. You have these periods, they come, they go, and then all of a sudden you get walloped by a bunch of storms. And this is all very normal weather patterns, quite frankly, for an extended period of time in California. So although I'm not living there anymore, right? Although California's had a pretty extensive drought season, nonetheless, I was never all that worried about it because I know California. And eventually it comes around, the storms come, it's right on the ocean, you can't stop them forever. And that's kind of how it goes. All right, telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Those will be open throughout the show today. We're going to be covering some of U.S. politics, some of the stuff with Mike Pence calling for Representative Ilhan Omar to resign. and we'll talk about the border shutdown, a couple issues here for sure. And I don't know where we're going to go in hour two. We don't have a guest lined up today. Sorry about that. Not that that's going to break the hearts of a lot of you who listened to Inside the Eye Live over the years, but nonetheless, we won't have a guest today. No time to hook that in together, so we didn't get anything done. But we're going to be moving along 2 hours of intelligent media for the politically aware. So we're going to have just welcome. Hope things are going well for you. I understood the show before me didn't run today. People actually calling me on my call-in line saying what's going on. It's like, oh, I don't know, man. Not in a bad way, of course, but I just don't know. So basically, here I am. Let's see. I just kind of want to look. Chat room is open. I haven't signed in yet, or have I? Yeah, I think I've signed in. Live chat. Go to insidetheeyelive.com/live_chat. Small gathering so far. It is kind of like mid-afternoon, I guess, but you've got Brian Oblivion, Kat Carson, of course, Frederick C. Blackburn is there, and we don't want to do minus, minus, minus. We want to do plus, plus, plus. And so that's all I see right now in the chat room, aside from my buddy One Eye, who was sleeping. What a guy. He's a good guy. I miss my cats. Anyways, he's a good guy. He's up there on the table sleeping at my desk in Jordan. One Eye. I got a good cat. Got a good cat report coming up in the second half of this hour. First, let's kind of move along to. I don't know if you guys saw. I don't have the story in front of me. First, let me just kind of comment on this story. I don't have it in front of me, but let me just kind of run by it. I saw a little blurb coming out from Brennan. Brennan, I believe, what's Brennan? Is he CIA or is he State Department? I think he's State Department, his Secretary of State. Brennan, I believe. You'd think I would know that by now, right? But nonetheless, I saw him in a comment, and he said that Venezuela and Russia pose a threat to democracy. And I'm like, actually, the Russians pose a threat to democracy. And it was in regards to Venezuela. And I'm like, you guys really got to be kidding me here. Here you guys have taken a person, Guido, who has never stood for an election for the presidency, doesn't have any real support inside of the country. You have unilaterally gone after the government of Venezuela. You've basically stolen their U.S. assets for a while. You're renting them. You're going to basically steal all their assets, put that into a bank account, steal the money, basically use all the interest for yourself. We kind of know how the game works. And you have installed purportedly your own president, and you're telling the world that it's the Russians who pose a threat to quote unquote democracy. You know, the lunacy of some of these people in the American government. And this is part of why, you know, the Americans really, we are in a state of decline, you know, internationally, quite frankly, because, and also why people don't trust us, especially the government. They still like the American people, everybody. To those of you listening, international people, they like the American people, but they see the Americans as essentially stooges of Jewish power. They really do. I was with a guy today, and he's reasonably well-placed. I'll just say that. And we were driving. He was giving me a ride to where I needed to go. Actually, no, he wasn't. He was taking me to lunch at that time. I want to just be fair with my story. And so we were going, and he said, you know, I believe, and a lot of us believe, that Jews run the world. And I'm like, well, you won't find any disagreement with me on that part. And he said, but Jews really run your country. And so whatever America does, it's what Jews want. And whatever Jews want, America will do. And I'm like, yeah, I can't really disagree with you. So he said, now we have to deal with the fact that you Americans can't control your country, that Jews run your country, control all of you. And so even though we like the American people, we have a people that are just, we know, are just crazy, essentially. Jewish people are crazy. But we have to live with them, and they do print the money. They say, I'm sitting in a meeting today. I'm in a meeting today, guys. And the guy just blurts out, oof. I said, what? He said, the government is $21 trillion in debt. And I kind of laughed. I said, you ain't talking about your government, dude. You're talking about my government. And he laughed. He said, yeah. He said, it says you're $21 trillion in debt. And I said, well, you know what? We print the money. It doesn't matter how much in debt we go because we just print it and you guys keep using it. So what are you going to do about it? And he laughed. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, that. But still, he said, $21 trillion. I said, yeah, what can I say? That's Jews for you. When Jews run your country, there's nothing but debt. There's no growth. There's no nothing positive. It's basically just a slow burn decay. And Jews, of course, have pretty well destroyed the country. We talked about immigration today in Saudi Arabia. And these are, again, our senior level Saudis and people that, trust me, all of you would get along with. Don't let the media and all the crap that they import into Europe and even into America in many cases cloud your ability to think. You know, and I know there are a lot of groups out there. I see it on Twitter. I see it on Gab, really more. I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I'm on Gab. You can follow me at Radio ITEL, by the way, on Gab. But I see all this super anti-Islamic stuff that, quite frankly, is stupid as someone who's lived in the Middle East a long time. Now, on the fundamentalist side, which everybody's working to get rid of and to delete and to kick out, you can see some of the problems that they will post on Gab and elsewhere. But guess what? These are your countries. These are our countries. Deal with the excuse my language, but deal with the problem. Don't whine. First, deal with your Jewish elite. They're the ones bringing the problems in for you. Literally, they're bringing it in. So we're talking about America and all this problem along our southern border. And he said, look, Dennis, he said, if you guys, this is a Saudi guy. He said, if you guys lose America and you don't protect your borders and you don't protect what is America today, you can never put it back together again. It will be lost forever. And he said, that's bad for us and that's bad for the world. Now, can you imagine, guys, that's the type of sympathy Americans are getting in Saudi Arabia. And it's not like this isn't talked about here. People are absolutely disgusted with Jews, with Democrats, and the way they are destroying our countries. Because what makes the West great is what we of the West are. And if we continue to allow our countries to be overrun by hordes, everyone sees it, guys. There's nobody with overseas. You got this outside external vision. You see exactly what's going on. And here the Saudis are saying, Dennis, you guys got to protect your borders, man. We wouldn't allow all these Yemenis to come into our country and then take over our country in the southern part of our nation. And we're certainly not going to allow the Iraqis to come in through the northern borders. We would never allow that. This is our country. This is our home. And that should be true of every single red-blooded American. And again, I don't care where you're from per se, but it's your country. If you allow third world immigration to just overrun your country, it's like Humpty Dumpty's egg. You'll never, ever put it back again. And Jews know that, and they don't care. That's the problem. Jews do not care that they are destroying our countries. They are the most, there's something about their mentality that makes them one of the most evil entities on this planet. That's just an observation. I'm looking at it from a trans or beyond the planet type of a focus here. If I'm looking at what's going on down from below and I'm saying, what a bunch of absolute psychopaths. They're just bringing in everything to destroy everything. I'll tell you, the problem we have in the West, guys, remains, quite frankly, our Jewish domination, of course. But folks, people got to get active, get involved. Seriously, seriously. You know what? I do my best from here, the best I can. I work to keep America looking positive. I'm a good ambassador. I work with a lot of great people that actually support you, the American people, that want to see you, the American people, survive. They do not want to see an African, Quite frankly, they don't want to see an African America. They don't want to see an Islamic America. They don't, because they want what we are as people. And I know when you constantly get bombarded by the Jewish press, that may be hard to believe. I can't go on to Gab without going through my timeline, and every third, fourth, fifth tweet or so, or seventh tweet, is some moron with some again, Islam is not for our countries, folks. It's not. I'm not supporting it here. Don't be stupid. But at the same time, it's so silly. It has no relevance to what is actually going on in these countries, in these countries. So, yeah, you focus on all this trash that Jews are bringing into your countries, but none of these people are focusing on the Jews themselves. That's the problem you have. Nobody is dealing with the national emergency we have, which is Jewish domination of our countries. You want to talk about the ultimate national emergency? That is the ultimate national emergency. Jewish domination of our government infrastructures. There's where your national emergency lies. And it's so plain as day. It's like, how can you not see it? Seriously. Are you going to have any of these problems that we have in our countries today if you take out Jews and their politics? I don't think so. And yet all the time they want to talk to us about anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. And it's like, dudes, if I go to a Dodger game, do you don't think that they're going to be there people like cheering against the Dodgers? Of course there are. Are we going to call them anti-Dodgers? And there's no room for anti-Dodgers in my stadium. And heck, Dodger Stadium doesn't even belong to, you know, this foreign enemy here. If you go to a New York game and you're rooting against the Bronx Bombers and you're saying the Yankees, no, is it right to say there's no room for anti-Bronx people here? So why does this extend to a bunch of losing class people like the Jewish people who continue to destroy our nations? This is the real question Americans should be asking. Because everywhere you look, their decisions are poisonous to our republic. And it's not just ours, it's Britain, it's Sweden, it's France, it's Italy, it's everywhere. So where are the national emergencies in our countries? Is it guns? No. Is it border security? Yeah, but who's behind it? Is it giving the franchise to people that have absolutely no business getting a franchise? But yeah, but who's doing that? The problem remains, folks, is money. Who's printing the money? Who controls the money? And what they do with that control. And that's the most important part, is what they do with their control. And they do no good for all of us. That, seriously, folks, is a national emergency. So when they talk about national emergencies, perhaps the national emergency that we need to declare is Jewish influence in our politics. Because they're right now talking about how the national emergency is guns, and maybe we need to take back all the guns because, hey, that's a national emergency for them. No matter how you look at it, everybody, this has to come to a head one day. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Welcome, everybody. Thursday, February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. Back with more right after this. Whoops. I don't know why I do that, though. You know, I got to get this touchscreen fixed. But it's February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And kind of a fun story here. I was at somebody, again, my colleague's house. I had dinner at his house. Boy, his wife is such a fantastic cook. Unbelievably delicious food, I tell you. Today they made some type of macaroni dish. Reminded me of raviolis, quite frankly. It had a little lemony flavor to it. Man, it was so good. So we're sitting there waiting for the dinner to be served. And he's showing me a picture of muffins, right? And the muffins were about Valentine's Day, you know, here in Saudi Arabia, right? I just said, hey, this used to be, I don't see Valentine's Day here in Saudi Arabia at all. And he told me, he said, no, that was before. Honestly, I don't get into the stores too much. He said, when the religious people were running around all the time, yeah, it was a problem. But now it's not so much of a big deal. I said, oh, well, that's good. At least we're making some progress in that front, right? And he said, yeah. He said, but I'll tell you, we had a really interesting discussion today, quite frankly, with my Saudi friends, because really we were talking about issues like America, the direction of the country, the fact that really there's no sense of the emergency America is really in. I mean, these guys are saying, please, they're almost like pleading with the American people, you and us, the American people, to do something to conserve our demographic integrity, because they know America is not Mexico, okay? America is not Mexico. America is not a big Muslim Somalian invasion. Heck, they don't care themselves here for that. Why do they want to see America to become that? Think about it, everybody. So do what you can. Get out there to support really national interests, nationalist interests. Call out those who are destroying our country. Don't be afraid to mention Jews all the time. And they're gonna keep and continue to make it impossible for you to speak. Trust on that. They are working overtime to make sure that you do not have a voice in the future of your countries. They are saying, really, that you will not be able to even criticize them, that they are gods on earth. They are above you. You do not have a right. Even the worst of the Jewish person is superior to every single one of you. And that's their philosophy. That's what they truly believe. And that's what all of this anti-Semitism war that they keep waging everybody, everywhere is really all about, is saying we are superior to you. We are your gods. You worship us. And then, of course, if you do worship them, then they're going to try to kill you for that because, you know, you're not supposed to have any other gods other than their GD. But then, of course, they're just bizarre people. Trust me, guys. Trust. But verify. Do a Reagan on this. Trust but verify. You don't have to trust. You don't have to believe me. But you should also trust, because we've always been truthful, and then go verify. That's for sure. A little thing about the fundraising issues here. We're a little bit short across the board. I got a message here. We're about $500 some odd short so far, normally, under the normal for the studio. So if you can, again, get out there and try to support the studio a little bit more this month. We know it's a tough after the holidays. People are short on money, but we know some of you out there are not. So do what you can to support the network a little bit, throw them some money, 20, 30, 40 JD dollars, not JD. That would be even more. But throw a little bit there just to help out this one time to try to get that going. I know we are about $60 ourselves short on our targets, but you know, that's okay. We're still doing okay, but we're about 60. The studio's about 543, something like that, 500 some odd dollars short. So, do what you can. It is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does really rely upon your donations to keep that alive. You know, a lot of people pay, you know, a lot more for this. Trust me. Some people, you know, some angel donors are paying quite a bit more, you know, into the hundreds of dollars every month. And of course, whoever these people are, obviously their efforts are appreciated regardless. So again, keep the network alive, guys. If you want to have an open network, open community, you need to put your money where your mouth is equally sometimes. And I'm thinking of doing something equally. We'll look at what's going on after the show and see what's happening. But guys, keep everything alive. We're doing okay. I mean, our funds are fine, but we're short also about $60. I look, $60 for the behind our targets equally. So everybody's behind on targets right now. And so do what you can. Again, it is listener-sponsored and supported radio. The ITIL Cat Report is proudly sponsored by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. Again, if you're not familiar with Grisms, check out grism.blogspot.com. Check it out. One of the longest running websites that aggregates this type of content. You know, they not everybody likes everybody there, and that's okay, but it's a big Jeff Rentz. A lot of Jeff Rentz is there. You've got David Duke. You've got Davis or David Lerman, I think something like that. Quite a lot of people. And of course, yours truly is there. Breiser and the Graham Hart Show is there. So we've got a lot of different shows across the spectrum that are actually over there being broadcast and preserved, quite frankly. And they're all edited. They are, what do they call it? Leveled out so that basically if there's some bad audio, it's leveled out so that when you actually go and listen, you're getting some of the best quality audio out there. And that's all effort. Every one of these shows is effort, you know, so don't be afraid to buy Zap a cup of coffee. You know, $3, $4, $5 isn't a lot, but I'll tell you what, when 100 people do that, it's really pretty nice. So guys, you know, do what you can. Again, we're all working hard for you to keep the information out there, to keep the message alive and in our frame. You know, we're not in the mainstream part of it, but we are in the right part of it. We are talking about the core key issues that are affecting us here in the United States. And there's no doubt about that. And we're also talking about the core key issues that affect all of us really across the spectrum, all over the place. So do what you can. Again, we know we keep begging a little bit, but the ITOCAT report is kind of good. One Eye's doing better. If you're familiar, One Eye's been hobbling around on three legs. He's got a bad still, not paw, a bad, I think, right leg. I think it's right leg. I think it's right. It's one of them. It's a front leg, put it that way. But he's doing better. He's starting to hobble a little bit better, and that's a good thing. But Bruiser has been chasing One Eye all over the place, I should say. And if you don't know Bruiser, he's blind. He's kind of a sweetheart in his own way. But he just chases him around, and he just like nips around, and One Eye is always angry. So they tell me like angry, always One Eye's, and One Eye can't run away because he's got a bad leg. He can't just jump up and get away from Bruiser right now. So Bruiser's kind of like nipping at his tail all the time. And One Eye's like getting pissed off at him, like, dude, leave me alone. And Bruiser just like looks around. He's not looking because no eyes, right? But he looks around like, I'm not doing anything wrong. And so like the girl that's taking care of the cats right now is saying, hey, what's up with Bruiser? He's always making problems around the house. I said, I don't know, man. What can I tell you, man? That's Bruiser. Bruiser's Bruiser. That's what we say about Bruiser. Bruiser's Bruiser. And then what happened, Emily called home from the Philippines, which was kind of good. And she talked to them and literally they never respond to me. Seriously, they ignore me for the most part. But they were like turning their heads and listening and stretching and yawning. They were so happy to hear her voice. So I tell you what, she's missing the cats equally. She's looking forward to getting back home. And Bruiser, I'm sure, will be delighted to have her home because the girl that takes care of them, she's not that friendly to Bruiser. She's not mean to Bruiser. But she's not friendly to Bruiser. You know what I mean? Like taking care and petting him and giving him lots of attention. She's not doing that. So sometimes you can see Bruiser's kind of sad. He's like, Bruiser, come on, cheer up, dude. It's okay. It's the world ain't coming to an end here. So I told her, you know, you got to give him attention. You got to give Bruiser a little bit of attention. He is blind, you know, so he doesn't have the ability to bond in any other way but attention. So I said, give him some attention. That he needs it. I said, just don't be afraid. He's not going to bite you. He doesn't have teeth. So just take care of him a little bit better. But no complaints. But so anyways, a couple more weeks for the cats and then they'll get Emily back home, which is probably going to be a really good thing for them. That's the ITOCAT report, everybody. It's proudly sponsored by, again, friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. And of course, if you have any IT needs out there, give me a message at the Fetch It Inside the Eye Live. .com. That's an email, thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com.
Oy vey. Oy gevalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
How is it run by Jews? It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey! The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored, features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored, is now available from Andy himself at AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at EurofolkRadio.com. To listen, simply visit EurofolkRadio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy Vey moment is going to come to us from Coventry, England. We're going to do a, probably a couple here. But the main one is coming from Coventry, England. Now get this one, guys. Get this one. The article is the Coventry Observer. I should say the press organ is the Coventry Observer. It came out today. And get this title. You just can't make this stuff up. Probe into Coventry University dodgeball team. Guys, a dodgeball team accused of anti-Semitism. That's right. Probe into Coventry University dodgeball team. I didn't even know they had dodgeball teams in college. Okay, come on. I guess it's England. But probe into Coventry University dodgeball team accused of anti-Semitism. All right, let's see what the heck they did. Oh my goodness, it must have been terrible. Because it's a dodgeball team. Of all things, it's a dodgeball team. Let's see, a Coventry University dodgeball team is under investigation by the Bolshevik Stasis amid allegations its members wore T-shirts emblazoned with swastikas and the words, "The Jews deserved it," on a night out. Images from a white T-shirt, well, that's good, it was white. Student event at the Empire nightclub in the city circulated on social media, prompted widespread anger. It did not. Let's be honest. Nobody gives a. Nobody cares. Guys, nobody cares. This is just a bunch of Jewish people and their media morons trying to play up something that nobody really cared about. However, it says here, popular on university campuses across the UK, this type of social event involves students writing remarks, sometimes obscene, on their colleagues' T-shirts. The photos show two team members with a number of offensive baloney. There's nothing offensive. What's offensive here is Jews sticking their nose in other people's business and then trying to make an issue of it. That's offensive. Should we arrest Jews for this in the future? Because they want to arrest you for even thinking about it. So basically it's, anti-Semitic comments written across their T-shirts, no doubt. The team has now been suspended by the university while a probe is launched. Can you believe the arrogance of the Jewish people here? What evil, vile people here. The team has now been suspended. Okay. The images surfaced just a day after the city marked International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Now, here's the thing about International Holocaust Memorial Day. There is not 1 ounce of that day where we dedicate the event to remembering how many people Jews killed themselves. This isn't a one-way street here, but they're making this out to be a one-way street. Are you offended? If they're going to make this out to you, because they're going to use this to clamp down on your ability for free speech. Trust me, they're already talking about it everywhere you look. MSNBC, is free speech at risk? Why free speech should be at risk and things like that. They are working very hard to basically make it to where Jews cannot be criticized. Anyways, it says here, again, International Holocaust Day, there's not 1 ounce of thank you from the Jewish community for what we've done. There are not 1 ounce of remembrance for those people who were killed by Jewish people, which is in over 100 million people. Where's your Remembrance Day? Again, don't talk to me about International Holocaust Remembrance Day. You don't remember a single genocide carried out by the Jewish people against Western civilization. Do you realize, everybody, that when you factor in that Jews engineered the Civil War in America, 600,000 people lost 400 and some odd thousand soldiers. It was the most expensive war in American history relative to deaths by American military. Over 400,000 men, 600,000 total. This is basically, again, a huge number. Then you look at World War One, World War Two, the genocides in Bolshevik Russia, the Holodomor, which was carried out by Jews themselves. Do you realize that the white population on this planet is estimated to now be missing 500 million people due to Jewish Holocaust against the white people of this planet? 500 million is missing. We are now like down to 8%. We were at one time 33% of the global population. We were 33%. Now we're down to 8% of the global population. Where is International Holocaust Day remembrance of Jewish crimes against the Western peoples? Again, so for them to make a complaint about this, this is completely uncalled for. It's egregious. It's offensive. It's exceptionally, how do we even want to word this? It's almost criminal, because they are basically, the fact of the matter is if you've killed off 500 million of us, yes, you did deserve it, but it didn't happen. That's the problem. It never happened. And yet you are now stealing so much wealth, so much of our freedoms in the name of an event that you won't even allow people to investigate. Why won't you allow us to investigate it? Because you know it's a fraud. It's a lie. It is the most successful historical fictions in the history of mankind. And the only way you can make something like this successful is if you're evil, because you are falsely claiming crimes against someone that they never, ever committed. What can be more evil than that is to falsely accuse somebody. This is beyond evil. It's really, I can't even describe how evil that, I mean, I can't imagine. Can you imagine me walking up to any of you out there listening right now and I just accuse you of a crime and then I don't even let you defend yourself? And then I destroy your entire life because you can't defend yourself? How fair is that? But that is what International Holocaust Day is all about. That is what this war about anti-Semitism is all about. It is basically unilateral declarations by the Jewish community to do what we say, not as we do, of course, and trust us in our history. Give us everything we want because you guys did. I was born in the 60s. Some people are born in the 80s. What the heck do you have to do with all this? These are college kids on a dodgeball team. Being investigated and suspended. Now, a Coventry University Jewish society, gee, they're everywhere, aren't they? There are societies, but where's the white society? Everywhere you turn, there's a Jewish society, this Jewish society, that. Where is the white society? Where is it? It doesn't exist, guys. They don't allow it. The second you try to have it, you're going to be destroyed again. But they can have their societies. They told the student newspaper, which is called The Tab, "We were shocked to see such hurtful and hateful anti-Semitic language written on the shirts of our fellow students." Well, I'm shocked that you're sticking your nose in other people's business. I'm shocked and offended that you think you have a right to impose yourself on everybody else, including us. We don't care what you think, and I'm shocked and hurt that you Jews continue to make issues of these things. That's really what's coming. This is coming to. You have to start to have the same stupid indignation that stupid Jews have, because they're playing your emotions like a fiddle. It says here, the shirts of our fellow. It's unbelievable for students to think appropriate to draw a swastika paired with "the Jews deserved it" on their t-shirts and think nothing is wrong. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that anymore, because I know that you Jews are working hard to destroy our freedoms. You're working hard to destroy our nations. You are engaged in a culture, because I had nothing to do with the quote-unquote the Holocaust of the 1940s. I had nothing to do with it, yet they want us to have to deal with this today, right? Okay, well, then these same Jewish students should be responsible for every single Holocaust that Jews have done to everybody else on this planet. And they should not be allowed to speak anymore. That's how you have to start to handle these people, folks. They are against everything that you stand for. It's a national emergency. The true national emergency is this mentality, this behavior, this type of imposition, this type of tyranny from these people. That's really what's at issue here, everybody. You know, this idea of national emergencies. You want to hear it? This is it. You're suspended because you did it. Who cares? Quite frankly, at the end of the day, who cares? Now we care because you're making it an issue. If you didn't make it an issue, I wouldn't even have cared about it. Says here, we expect both the students' union and the university to take appropriate action, which means that basically you're above the law. You dictate the law to us. The appropriate action should be to suspend and kick all the Jews out of the campus. That's what the appropriate action should be. Because basically they don't tolerate anybody. They don't have any tolerance. Get rid of them. People have a right to their opinion. And if you Jews were behind the murder of 500 million people over the span of 100 years, that includes actual deaths and births that never came. And let's not talk about other issues that you're behind, like all the deaths and the mayhem going on in Europe because of your open border policies. Then I'll tell you what, the appropriate action is to kick Jews off the campus. That's the appropriate action. He says here, we have been in contact with the S Student Union who are offering support to our members. Are you kidding me? You need support for something like that? Are you that much of a bunch of whining loser morons that you need quote unquote support? Can you believe? Look, you obviously they can't handle this environment. They should be removed for their own safety. We shouldn't have to tolerate and change our opinions for them. If they can't handle our country, our society, go back to Israel, everybody. Get them out. Support. Do you realize how stupid that sounds? Oh, we're getting support because somebody put something on a t-shirt. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Who's the problem here? The ones who put things onto their t-shirt, or these type of people who are such prima donna loser whiners that they can't handle anything? Then he carries on, he says, if anyone sees any form of anti-Semitism or hate crime, we urge students to report the instance to the University Student Union, Community Trust, and the Union of Jewish Students. In other words, they're the law. It's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye, live, prime time. Back with more right after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware, actually Inside the Ally, primetime. Again, it's Happy Valentine's Day. I don't have any cute things to do for Valentine's Day for you, unfortunately. I was sleeping. I went home and slept. But yeah, I took my nap before the show here. It's now 3:04 in the morning here, locally in Riyadh. We'll be going up to 4:00 in the morning local time. You know what I really need to be doing, guys, but unfortunately it's drive time in America right now, which is, of course, our main market, but I really need to be doing like an Art Bell style Chupacabra show. You know, I need to be like, call in if you saw a Chupacabra. These are these nasty, you know, because it's 4 a.m. I mean, come on, this is like ghost time and paranormal stuff time for those of us here in the Middle East. And I'm talking politics with you, current events, and of course our favorite national emergency, which is Jewish domination of our politics, because it really is a national emergency and people are starting to get it really is a national emergency. Anyways, telephone lines are open 1-323-275 1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. So go ahead and give us a call if you'd like to call into the show. Put you right on the air. And what else is kind of news that we wanted to go with here? You know, really the big issue I think coming out of America right now is the looming shutdown. Of course, America is supposed to shut down now in less than 36 hours. I think it's February 15th midnight. I'm not sure. February 16th midnight, it would shut down. So most of you now heard the U.S. Congress has been working hard on that. This bill is needed to keep about a quarter of the United States government up and running. And Trump has said that he would not sign the deal initially unless he got some U.S. $5.7 billion or so for funding additional border security infrastructure. Now, the Senate today passed a spending package by a vote of 83 to 16, which is now going to send that to the House. The House is supposed to vote on that. Maybe it's voting on it now. For all I know, it just says the lower chamber is scheduled to vote on the legislation tonight. The measure includes $1.375 billion to construct only 55 miles. Man, that's expensive. No wonder the Democrats don't want to do it. But yeah, $1.375 billion. For 55 miles. I would think that they could do more with that much money, quite frankly. But anyways, that's what it is. And that would be along the Mexican border. The White House said Trump will separately declare a national emergency, though. That's what's being reported in many outlets. I've seen it, Washington Post and a few others. I don't know where this article I'm reading came from, but it says that Trump will actually declare a national emergency. And that will be interesting to see what he does. Now, Pelosi, for his part, and this is the difference between a Jewish-dominated project and a nationalist-dominated project. Trump's declaring a national emergency would be to complete border security infrastructure. And I know some people aren't keen on that in the national, well, they're not even nationalists, in the white something or other movement. But really, it's so important. I'm in discussions, literally, guys, today in Saudi Arabia with people that are very senior level people. And they're saying, Dennis, you guys need to protect your borders. If you lose America, we all lose. Literally, that's what they're telling me. We just had a comment coming from a former international ICE. What is ICE? Immigration and Customs. What is ICE? Someone send that to me. I'm forgetting. But anyways, it's responsible for our immigration policies here as far as policing it. He said Friday during an interview on, it's called Outnumbered, former ICE acting director Thomas Homan basically supported Trump's immigration policies. Oh, it's customs enforcement, immigration and customs enforcement. That makes sense. And essentially, what he said is illegal immigration is a clear and present danger, not just to America, but to the entire world. Now, I'll be honest, a lot of the world gets it, and they are doing what they can to preserve their national boundaries, to preserve their national makeup. In America, the big thing is America is a land of immigrants. No, we're not a land of immigrants. We are a land that was created and established by immigrants, but it is a land of the descendants of those immigrants. We have laws. We have a legal path for people to come and actually come live in our country. It is not a country where we want to simply allow it to be flooded by anybody and everybody, and then have a hostile Jewish elite working overtime to allow these people to get a franchise to vote in our elections and basically replace us, because that's what this is all about. According to this gentleman here, again, his name is Mr. Thomas Homan. He said he's the first president that I know of that gave them, meaning those who have been families who have had loved ones killed by illegal immigrants. He created the Victims of Immigration Crime Office at the ICE. This president is deeply committed on this issue, which he appears to be. And this president, he said, quoting here, is doing his job. He wants to protect this country. He wants to protect the United States citizens. And he's given a voice to the victims of immigration crime. Now, a lot of us know without any illusions that Trump is an Israeli firster. He's an agent of Jewish power. We know that. But we also know that we need to buy some time. We need to get some type of border security in place. We need to stem the flow. This is coming from all quarters. Even the Dalai Lama is talking about, hey, you know, Europe for the Europeans type of stuff. Saudis here are telling me this. Jordanians are telling me this. Kuwaitis are telling me this. I don't talk to too many people from Dubai, but I'm sure they would also tell me this, that America needs to protect its national heritage. America will not be America if we simply give it away to Mexico, to Latin America, to South America, to the Middle East, to Asia. It will not be America, guys. And as my friend so succinctly put it today, once again, once you lose it entirely, you'll never, ever be able to repair it. It will never. It's Humpty Dumpty, man. He didn't use that term, Humpty Dumpty. I'm using that term. But it will be like Humpty Dumpty. You will never, ever put it back together again. That's his exact words. You will never, ever be able to put America back together again. That's how important this national emergency really, really is. Now, Trump, he wants to, theoretically, that's what we're hearing anyways, being reported that he wants to declare a national emergency. What is that for? To protect the national boundaries of the nation. Is it under stress? Yes. Is it under assault? Yes. Is it under even invasion? Yes. Tens of millions of people are estimated to be in the United States illegally. That would never happen here in the Middle East, where they have active enforcement day in and day out. You know, even Jordan, the king gave amnesty. That means that all the past crimes are basically washed off. But guess what? The day after the amnesty started, they released the people from jail. And guess what happened on day two? They started arresting everybody right back again, putting them right back in jail. They have amnesty now, but it didn't matter. They just started arresting them right away again and put them back in jail. Now, if you can manage to stay out of jail, I guess, and get your papers legally done, you'll be fine. But they're not messing around. Same in Saudi Arabia. They're not messing around. Nobody does. Nobody is messing around here. Some countries, they like the American people. They like the British. They like foreigners, and you can stay. There'll be penalties when you leave the country, but you can stay. Others, no. Saudi, no. Absolutely not. So what does Pelosi come up with? Today, she issued a warning to Republicans, which is to the American people. She says here that the next Democratic president, she said, could do the same on guns. And quoting her, she said, a Democratic president can declare emergencies as well, Pelosi told reporters in the Capitol. So the precedent that the president is setting here is something that should be met with great unease and dismay by the Republicans. Continuing on, she tried to argue that this Parkland, Florida event, which is purely in a Jewish-run Chabad Jewish community, should be a template for the rest of the nation. It's not. In fact, we're all curious why it happened there. She says here, let's talk about today. The one-year anniversary of another manifestation of the epidemic of gun control, gun violence in America, Pelosi said. She said, that's a national emergency. No, Miss Pelosi, that's a Jewish-run town. It's a fraudulently run town. You Jews should not ever be able to declare for the rest of us in our nation what is happening in our nation. The fact that your Jewish-run town is so inept, so corrupt, so stupid, does not reflect upon the entire nation here. In fact, we want to know more and investigate this clearly, and I'm sure there's a lot of criminality going on here within the government with malfeasance. But she says, hey, a Democratic president can declare a national emergency and basically just start grabbing everybody's guns. So see what they're doing? The Democrats, the ones that are basically working under Jewish power structures, of course, both sides are. Let's not kid anybody. But this particular side isn't declaring war on the immigrants. It's declaring war on the American people. How else can you read that? Pelosi just openly said, we can now declare war on you, the American people. Now, who's the traitor here? Somebody that wants to build a national infrastructure to protect the borders, which is absolutely under duress? Or Pelosi, who says we can declare a national emergency and declare war on the American people, which is exactly what she just said here, that we Democrats can declare war at any time on the American people by simply declaring a national emergency, which obviously without any input from the American people. Now, the American people support border security upwards of 70%. Do you think the American people support the unilateral disarming of the public at the hands of a Jewish elite by 70%? I don't think so. So where's the national emergency, Ms. Pelosi? There is no national emergency. What you're telling us is that you do not like the American people. You do not trust the American people, and that you are at war with the American people. Continuing on, she says, income inequality is a national emergency. Yes, it is. There's way too many Jewish billionaires. That's right. There is. All of these bankers that have made money through criminal fraudulent means? Yeah, that's a big national emergency. You never did anything after the 2008 financial collapse. Access to healthcare is a national emergency. Yes, it is. It's a Jewish-run dominated system. Absolutely, it's a national emergency. In fact, the medical industry is so criminal, we have a 1 in 110 autism rate among our children now. Yeah, it is a national emergency. Absolutely. And we should look at Jewish domination of that system. Then they go on building a wall on the southern border is not. Absolutely. Yes, it is. Because all of this stems, basically, all the problems you have is from demographic shifts. And then trying to use these non-Americans to come into your country to give them amnesty so they can what? Get a pathway to citizenship? No immigrant in this way should ever get a pathway to citizenship. They can get permanent residence. That's okay. I'm not against permanent residence, but they do not vote. They pay their something every year to be here every year, just like we have to do. Everywhere in the country, you have to do that. Or you have to leave the country every few months. But guess what? Every time you leave the country, what do? Come on, what do? You pay. You pay taxes at the airport. You pay to the government to get the visas issued so you can leave. See, in my opinion, guys, you in the West, you really don't have an idea how the world works. Far too few of you truly understands how the world works. And this is the problem. You listen to your Jewish media all day and you just don't sit back and say, wow, how's it done in this country? How's it done in that country? How's it done over there? And then you get an idea that how the world does it. And all of a sudden, you're not so smart anymore. And then when you start to look at who's making the decisions, you see a bunch of Jewish people say, these guys are idiots. But guess what? Oh, you can't say that. Yeah, they're stupid. They're idiots. But oh, you can't say that because you're going to be anti-Semitic. Really? So basically, Pelosi is basically threatening now the American people that says if Donald Trump does put forward a national emergency, the next time we have the presidency, we will declare war on you, the American people. So we will see exactly how that plays out. Pelosi emphasized that she's not promoting the idea that a president of any party should use emergency declarations. Actually, I don't believe that's what she's saying at all. She says, I'm not advocating for any president doing an end run around Congress. She said, I'm just saying that the Republicans should have some dismay about the door that they are opening, the threshold that they are crossing. Listen, Ms. Pelosi. The American people are not your problem. And what you just told us is that the American people are the problem. You just told us that you're going to declare war on the American people based on your holier-than-thou Jewish type of mentality that you have in Washington. That's really what you told us, Pelosi. And you're an enemy of the American people, and the American people should treat you like that. Oh, I'll tell you. Inside the Eye Live, primetime. Telephone number is 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You know, one case in point here. You know, America has been traditionally European run. Call it the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, the WASPs, whatever you want to call it. But now we've got a situation where we have this diehard, absolute, oh, I don't even know what to call this guy. He's such a something or other. But Mike Pence, he's so pro-Israel that it just reeks of basically dual loyalty, quite frankly. And yesterday, he was talking about this Ilhan Omar, who's a Democrat out of Minnesota. Now, here's this woman that comes over here as a refugee, and 13 years later, she's telling the American people what to do. And she's now, quote unquote, sitting inside of Congress telling the American people what to do. She's going out there and she says things that are, quote unquote, anti-Semitic. Well, so what? But see, the debate isn't about European Americans now. It's basically a debate between Jews and those that Jews have installed. And the only thing we're hearing about is, quote unquote, how anti-Semitic this is. So Pence says here, those who engage in anti-Semitic tropes should face consequences. So now they're using a Muslim Somalian woman who has no business running, quite frankly, our country. She has no vesting in our country. She's now dictating to us in our own country what is actually happening here. And she's strategically taking the debate to a point to where Jews are now being able to out with their public media and talk about how anything anti-Semitic should never be tolerated. So we have someone who's tactically stupid, tactically inept, not even American, really. She's an immigrant. She has no business being in our country, quite frankly. She should have been deported back to Somalia as soon as we could have. But no, she was given a pathway to citizenship by Jewish people. Now she's tweeting out there. Who knows what she tweeted? I don't even care, quite frankly. But it says here, Pence says, Omar's tweets were a disgrace and her apology was inadequate. Who needs to apologize? See, the point here is that why are we being told we have to apologize to Jews for anything? They're running the country. If they can't stand the heat, guess what? Get out. Seriously, don't tell us what to think. It's our country. Continuing, says, anti-Semitism has no place in the U.S. Congress. Why? The Congress is like 24% Jewish. And since you guys can't do anything effectively for the American people, for us to be against the Jewish people is absolutely not. It's just common sense. You can't tell us we can't be against you when you're making the laws for us and we don't like your laws and you don't even let us touch you. Yes, absolutely. People have a right to be anti-Semitic in these cases, because now the definition of anti-Semitic is simply being interested in your own interest or advocating for your own interest, not Jewish interests. Pence wrote, it's all about the Benjamins, while commenting on APAC's political influence. Well, it is all about the Benjamins. There's nothing anti-Semitic about that. That's a fact of life. So why is Pence trying to deflect from the fact that it is all about the Benjamins? Because Omar tweeted it's all about the Benjamins. Well, it is all about the Benjamins. Absolutely it is. Who's kidding who, Mr. Pence? Seriously, who's kidding you? I get emails from Trump every day. Donate, donate, donate. Give me, give me, give me. It is all about the Benjamins. Otherwise, you guys don't need to ask for my money every day, right, Pence? He goes on, those who engage in anti-Semitic tropes should not just be denounced. They should face consequences. Really, Mr. Pence? That Jews are such above the rest of us that we can't criticize them? That we can't draw attention to the fact that they are complete inept failures in managing our country? That the problem we have, or the amount of problems in our country, is a direct reflection of Jewish dominance in our politics? You're saying we don't have a right, Mr. Pence, to speak our mind in our own country? That sounds to me like Talmudic tyranny. That sounds to me like a little Bolshevik monstrosities going on here, Mr. Pence, and that you are anti-American and you're really working for the British or the Israeli people in the state of Israel. You're not working for the American people, because we have an absolute right as Americans to speak our mind. Carrying on, Vice President Pence tweeted out. Basically Pence is saying that people should face consequences for their words against Jews. For what? For what? Think about it. For what? If you don't like what somebody does, you should have the absolute right to speak about it. And if someone says it's all about the Benjamins, that's so stupid. What are you even making this a serious issue for? And you're doing it on a political, a national scene. Are you guys insane? Seriously, are these people insane? And they are. And they're trying to dictate to you. They're trying to rule over you and tell you exactly what you can and can't say and what you can and can't do. Andrea Mitchell, she is NBC News anchor. Her tweet went out. Senior official on VP plane says, VP believes Ilhan, Minnesota, should be forced to leave the Foreign Affairs Committee as Pence escalate White House attack on freshman Democrat. Well, first of all, the reason she shouldn't be there is because she should never have been given a path to citizenship to begin with. She should never have been allowed to even run for office. She should have been this should have been a highlight and said, look, she's here because of Jewish politics. She is here because literally there is a plan to take Nordic areas of America, very pristine, white, ethnically homogeneous areas, and flood them with refugees from places like Somalia, and then they can run around and tell everybody what to do. That's why she shouldn't be there, not because she's quote-unquote anti-Semitic. That's not the issue here. The issue is that she should never have been allowed to even get a franchise in our country. She's not earned the right to be in the Congress. It's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, prime time. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. One of the largest listener, sponsor, and supported networks going today again. Remember, just a quick thought, again, we're a little bit behind on the fundraising for the month. Probably just, well, it's February, I guess. I don't know why. But anyways, we're running about $500 short so far. So under norm, it's getting a little bit dangerous. We're halfway through the month. So if you can, once again, keep us in your thoughts on your donations. Send the station a little bit. Again, you can go to revolution.radio. And the link's there. And just follow through, support the station, and do what you can. Let's see. You know, we talked a lot about the anti-Semitism thing today, and it's an issue that we obviously talk a lot about because really when it all boils down to is when it comes to governing your nation, when you have people really saying that you don't have a right to criticize them as government officials because, quote unquote, of anti-Semitism, what they are doing is weaponizing the political environment such that you cannot criticize those who you should be addressing. And you have every right to address them. You have every right to talk about collusion within the Jewish community to ensure that Jews across the spectrum have privilege and priority over you. Now, remember, you can go to Minnesota, persistently pristine Nordic area for years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden Jewish groups flood it with Somalian refugees, and now you have Somalians running the state inside of our Congress. I cannot go to Somalia, guys, and tell the Somalian people how to run their country. We're not in that position to actually, as individuals, go to that country and tell them what to do. The idea of giving away citizenship to every Yahoo that comes into your country is absolutely absurd. This woman should be drilled out of that Congress. In fact, the entire Somalian community inside of America should have its franchise removed. They should not be able to vote. I'm not against having, if you really feel there's a need to give these people permanent residence, okay, but let them pay. But not to vote and take you out of power. No way. No way, because you're basically giving up your country. You're handing it to militant people that have no concern for you, your family, and your future. None whatsoever. This woman should never have been there. And I'm not against her because of her anti-Semitism. That's no big deal to me. What she's saying isn't even that big of a deal. Jews are making it out to be a bigger deal than it really is. It's not a big deal. But if you don't think this is not a serious issue, you're not paying attention. This government in Washington, which is largely a Jewish government, because it is all about the Benjamins at the end of the day, and any Jew wants to come to me and call me anti-Semitism for that, bring it on, buddy, because you and I both know that I'm telling the truth, and I don't back down from the truth. Now, it's being reported in a German newspaper from the Jewish what? JNS.org. I'm not sure who JNS.org is. It's a Jewish national something maybe. Today, just today, the U.S. House of Representatives passed by voice vote. Isn't that nice? We just passed it by voice. We don't know who voted where. Yesterday afternoon on an amendment to condemn anti-Semitism. That's the U.S. government. What are you doing? You guys should be working your butt off, working your tails off for the American people, and all you're doing is voting on resolutions condemning anti-Semitism because you guys basically are serving the Jewish people. It was introduced by Representative David Kustov from Tennessee. He's, of course, a Jew. Okay, well, okay. So when we say you Jews are dominating our politics and you have this come through, what do you think, dude? You think Americans don't get the fact that you Jews are only interested in your own interests? You can't get us money to help protect our border, but you can send tons of our money to protect Israel's border, right, Mr. Kustov? You traitor? You're basically a dual loyalty guy? You're putting yourself and your little yarmulke wearing guys above everybody in the American, as if somehow us 100 million, 200 million people have to kiss your little heinies? I think that's what you told us, Mr. Kustov. I really think that's what the Jewish community is trying to say here. Kiss our you know what, because we're superior to you. It says here it's a procedural vote. A motion to recommit on the amendment passed 424-0. And you're trying to tell me that Jews aren't a national emergency in our country? 424-0 to condemn, quote unquote, anti-Semitism, which is basically to prevent you from talking about the Jewish people in any form or fashion, by the way they describe it. And you're trying to tell me Jews are not a national emergency problem in our country? 425-0? Excuse me? 424-0? The resolution passed totally after all the procedural stuff was done, 248-177. And it was passed again. Remember what's happening here. Jews are using this Somalian woman who doesn't represent us, the American people, who represents a whole foreign entity compared to America. They're using her to basically wage war on the American people. You guys get what's going on yet? They're using this Somalian woman who's not even an American, literally, she has no ties to our country, to wage war on the American people. It says it was passed in the aftermath of Representative Ilhan Omar accusing on Sunday the American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, the largest pro-Israeli, of paying members of Congress to back Israel. Well, they do that. It's not accusing. It's a fact. And they're trying to make that out to be anti-Semitic, and they're using her to do it. It's like, well, but it's a fact. They do pay money. It's called lobbying. Are you guys idiots in Congress or what? Yes. No, they're not idiots. They're using basically a Somalian woman who actually told the truth because too many people are too afraid to speak the truth. How sad is that, quite frankly? So anyways, Omar replied to a Twitter post by journalist Glenn Greenwald about House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy threatening punishment for Omar and Michigan Representative Rashida Tlaib over their criticism of Israel. Well, why again? The fact that these two are there have nothing to do with the fact that they criticize Israel, as far as I'm concerned. They shouldn't be there to begin with. But here, think about it. They're making it out criticizing Israel, a foreign power, is somehow anti-American, and that should be sanctioned. And you're going to tell me that basically Jewish domination of our politics is not a national emergency? It is a national emergency. There's another one. An opinion editor for The Forward responded, would love to know who Ilhan Minnesota thinks is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel, though I think I can guess. Bad form, Congresswoman. What's so bad? Look, you Jews are buying up everything. Who are you kidding? Nobody's, you're playing out, the Jews play this big game in their media, and here's the problem. Too many American people are stupid, and they buy into this stuff. They literally buy into it. But now you've got another resolution, believe it or not, condemning anti-Semitism. And that's not all. You've got this thing going on over in England with Alison Chablot. She's been on the show. I don't know if we should bring her back or can bring her back. But yesterday she went to trial and she was basically found guilty of some ludicrous insanity from the Jewish community about singing a song about Jewish stupidity, basically. See, we're not being able to rule over this stuff. Jewish people are ruling over it and they're creating precedents. So yesterday the Crown Court in Southwark upheld a ruling delivered last May by Westminster Magistrates Court that Allison was found guilty of causing gross offensive of causing gross offensive, whatever that is. Again, Jews are legislating literally emotions here. After posting links to live performances of three of her songs, links to the songs, okay? As noted in a previous post that she writes, because she's not allowed to go public anymore, the points of law regard sending what constitutes a public electronic communications network, which is basically, she's not sending it, she's posting it. You're sending it to yourself when you click on the link. Now, contrary to remarks made by the campaign against anti-Semitism and other pretty stupid and ignorant sources, the Crown Court's ruling yesterday does not constitute a legal precedent. Britain is still free of any so-called Holocaust denial law. Legal precedents under UK law are applicable on points of law rather than on facts. Furthermore, even in Allison's case, should it go to the Supreme Court there, it would create no more than a persuasive, non-legally binding precedent in countries such as France or Germany. So essentially, Jews are using this Holocaust meme, because that's kind of what it is, to clamp down on pretty much everything. And people want to say that Jews are not a national emergency. You're fooling yourself. The real national emergency in America is Jewish domination of our politics. Plain and simple. If you have a nationalist government, quite frankly, a nationalist government, and this story is coming out of Hungary, and it's being written in The Guardian out of the UK. Hungary is telling UK Jewish groups to mind their own business about anti-Semitism. And that's what we should all be doing. Every single small Jewish group, because they're all small at the end of the day, these are only two, three, four, five-man shops that are complaining. Every time you see this person from the International Jewish Superiority Group organization, it's usually just two to five Jews working in some office getting some NGO money. It's not like these are big organizations, folks. They don't do work. They create little organizations, and then they, I'm from the National Jews Are Superior to You All organization in Seattle, Washington. I'm from the Superior Jewish Organization of Austin. It's only two of them, three of them. That's how they make their money. $500-$600, they get the proper licensing, they get the proper NGO status, nonprofit tax deductible stuff, and they just get money from the Jewish community. Then they go to the newspapers, and that's what they do all day, is basically work to get publicity for their causes, which isn't hard because Jews run the newspapers. So the president of the Board of Deputies of British Jews had raised concerns over the stance of Hungary's prime minister and government. But they're British. Get out of our business. Seriously, I applaud this. So a Hungarian government minister has now accused senior representatives of the British Jewish community of politically motivated lying, telling her to mind their own business and following a meeting in which she raised concerns about quote-unquote anti-Semitism. Again, the world doesn't revolve around Jews, and if you allow it to revolve around Jews, you will lose. I mean, I know that's a statement coming out of Patrick Little a bit, with Jews you lose. I forget who started that one. But it's not the world really. If there's nothing of value in the Jewish community, they cannot offer you as a nation, as a people, anything of value. They're going to bring you abortion. They're going to bring you malpractice of the medical community. They're going to bring you unjust laws. They're going to bring you usury. They're going to destroy your education system. They don't offer you any value, folks. There's no value in a Jewish mindset. It's all about how do we destroy and steal from the community, because they're not making value. You have to make value, folks. If you're an NGO, where's your value? There is no value. You're not making anything. We are looking at right now a war by the parasitic classes with Jews at its head, quite frankly. And of course, there's others, but Jews at its head. They've declared war on all of us who actually try to make things and do things and create things. They're trying to say you don't have a seat at the table anymore, even though you're the one that's making the world run. You're fixing the pipes. You're making sure the buses still run. You're making sure the airplanes fly. You're out there making sure that the kids are driven to school. You're doing everything that you can to make society function, and this parasitic class is telling you, you don't have a seat at the table anymore. You must listen to us. And if you don't, they want to label you with this term anti-Semite. It's very sinister because they cannot make the world run. And yet they want to tell you, you don't have a say in how it gets run. And you're the one who makes it run. Now, there's Secretary of State in Hungary, Vince Zale Bobrovnitsky. That's probably as close as I'm going to get, so I'll stop there. He wrote to Marie van der Ziel, who is the president of the Board of Deputies of British Jews this week, to take issue with the board's account of a meeting between the two. The board said the meeting, which took place on the 8th of February, was an important opportunity to raise awareness of the, I don't know, the BOD's longstanding concerns directly with the Hungarian government, including the use of anti-Semitic tropes. But at the end of the day, you're British. Shut up. Get out of our business. Go back home. It's not your business. Seriously, that's how you have to start dealing with these people. Who are British Jews at the end of the day to come over to Hungary and pop off? Just shut up. This board, this Jewish board, raised what quote-unquote language used by the Hungarian Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, in relations to the Hungarian-born Jewish philanthropist George Soros, which, whether intentional or not, represents the oldest anti-Semitic tropes, and this has to stop. No, it doesn't. It needs to be elevated. Because George Soros, as a Jew, is working to destroy our nations, and that is representative of what it means to be Jewish. And every Jew who participates in the cover-up is simply an accessory to the crime. And if Jews want to go after everybody in Western civilization because of something that they don't even allow you to investigate, then are you telling me that you don't have a right equally to hold every single Jew responsible for the crimes of their people? That's the precedent Jews have set for you. You have this right now. You have this right, I should say, to be more exact. You actually do have the right to do that. I got something very interesting from Graham Hart, who's, of course, our good friend up in Cornwall and with the Graham Hart Show on grism.blogspot.com. And it comes from the Jewish Times. And mind you, this is how pathetic Jews are about stealing your money, getting their hands in your pocket. And the title is, and it's basically now, it's live now, are you getting the Holocaust compensation you deserve? Can you believe that? The chutzpah of these people. Are you getting the Holocaust compensation you deserve? It says here, Deborah Cicero speaks to a lawyer, Brian Kramer, about helping survivors and their families claim benefits from Germany and Poland. But why aren't the Polish people going after Jews for compensation? Why aren't the Germans going after Jewish people for compensation? After all, the Germans lost between 7 to 15 million people after the war. Why aren't the Russians going after the German people, the Jewish people for compensation? They lost 60 some odd million people to Jewish tyranny. But it's always about how is it that the Jew is able to steal from you? Can you believe inside of Israel, that's what they're running? Are you getting, are you being able to steal as much from the German people? What are the German people, do they have to do with anything? Get your hands out of their pockets. Go do something productive. Quit trying to steal from everybody all the time. What a bunch of flakes. Really, this type of stuff really highlights the flake mentality of the Jewish people. Oh, gimme, 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 because you're not a victim. You were born after a lot of us, or you're born with us. We have, all of us have nothing to do with this event. Absolutely none. And yet you want to hold us responsible today for it. You don't want to allow us to investigate it. And then you want to stick your hands in our pocket to steal from us. And at the same time, if we say, get your hands out of our pocket, you want to accuse us of something in our own countries to shut us down? Do you guys see the twisted lack of intelligence going on here by allowing this to continue? It's insane, everybody. Guys, it's insane. It's impossibly insane. It's so outlandishly insane. It's like, what is happening to everybody? The fact of the matter is if everybody just stood up and told Jewish people to shut up, what are they going to be able to do to you? Nothing, because everybody's backing it. That's the truth. Look, they basically rely on your acquiescence to cowering before them, and that's the way they operate. They are literally allowing you to condemn yourself to their tyranny. Isn't that a great thing? Brian Kramer, he's based in, of course, America, Boca Raton, Florida, right? One of the biggest Jewish towns, home to Rexall. The big pharmacy chain is one of the leading law firms in the country dedicated to obtaining reparations. But why hasn't this guy gone after the Jewish community? So he's not the biggest guy. He's the one that steals the most from non-Jewish people. Basically, he's a hitman, a theft man. He's an extortionist for the Jewish community. Plain and simple, because if he were really going after quote unquote, you know, genocidal reparations, he would be going after the big boys, which are the Jewish people themselves who have stolen all the money over these past 100 years. He doesn't have a passion for justice in this case, because why hasn't he tried to go after every single Jewish person inside of Russia who is responsible for quote-unquote genocides? And it's not even quote-unquote, it's true. He helps Jews steal money from us, because that's basically what's happening, guys. We had nothing to do with this event. Think about that. What did you do today to contribute? You sent your family as descendants to go to get Jews bailed out of a problem they created for themselves. Seriously, think about it. We sent our men, our families, our women out to war for Jews, and now they want us to pay for it on top of it and pay them for the privilege that we went and bailed them out from a situation that they created by destroying Europe the first time, and now they're doing it all over again. And now they're not even bashful. They're doing it to the United States of America equally. Kind of impressive, everybody, when you think about what these guys are doing. It is the most sinister, evil thing I have ever witnessed in my life, quite frankly. I don't even know how to describe it. It's so evil what they are doing. I'll tell you. Let's see. Vera, hi. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live. Primetime.
Hi, Fetch. I know you must be getting very tired. It's late for you. Happy Valentine's to you.
Thank you. I haven't gotten too many Valentine's.
And I'm enjoying the rant. Very good.
You know what I got to do, Vera? I have to do more rants and just not prepare any show. And that forces me to rant because I got to talk for 2 hours. I got no choice. I can't just sit behind the mic and go. I can't hum for two hours.
Funny, I was going to call earlier and then I thought, no, let him talk because it was good. You know, like, and it is ridiculous, all this anti-Semitism bullshit that's being discussed constantly, because I listen to the news.
Yes.
It's sickening.
You know, I hate to be the one to bring it up all the time, but this is the key issue of the day. This and immigration are the two key issues. Because on one hand, they want to flood our countries. And on the other hand, they don't want us to talk about it. And the second you do, you're anti-Semitic, you're racist. And no, you know, again, if you're going to cower in front of this, then as seriously, Vera, can you believe today a Saudi guy saying, Dennis, you got to control your borders. You cannot lose your country, because if you do, we're all going to lose. Can you believe
because
that?
Generally, Fetch, I know. Generally, people everywhere, there's good and ignorant people everywhere.
True.
That's why all these sick wars you know, like they convince people that because they're a different color or whatever, somehow, well, you can hate them, you know. And they make up some lame excuse. Well, you don't, you know, I'm talking about now,
you know,
Iraq.
Vera.
Yeah?
You're going to have to call in. You're going to have to call in Saturday. Wrap it up really fast. 10 seconds. Quick,
okay.
10 seconds.
Okay. Do you know they had snow in Hawaii?
Wow, I didn't know that. That's for yeah. Saturday. Vera reports snow in Hawaii, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the LA primetime. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks
for the call. And we'll see you all Saturday Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, 10 o'clock a.m. We'll see you then. Thanks so much for listening. Good night, everyone.